Hello, this is internet personality Nico DiGregorio. You may know me from such fine podcasts as 2 Cents Radio and my own one mic radio show, The Nico Show. How are you? I hope you're well. And I feel very bad for you because you've clicked on whatever link you are currently listening to. You have made the decision to say, let's listen to whatever nonsense this is. And what is this, you may ask? Well, it's something called the Pompidou Podcast. What is the Pompidou Podcast? Well, allow me to explain. I'm glad you asked. Because if you are a loyal listener of The Nico Show, you will have heard this episode, this hour of nonsense already. But maybe if you have only listened to a few of those things, or maybe you just found this randomly by searching on the internet, you will have not heard this before. What you're about to hear can best be described as a pilot episode, a test run, a sort of experimental piece of nonsense, in which I got together with two of my friends and said, can we do a podcast about a British sitcom called Pompidou? Is it possible to watch 6 episodes of what can only be described as one of the worst pieces of television ever broadcast on airwaves? And can we recap each one of these episodes for an hour and talk about it seriously and maybe discover something else about ourselves along the way? So what we did is we watched this TV show, my friends, Nick Evangelista and Zach Caponegro. We watched the first episode of Pompidou on Netflix. It is, if you have a Netflix account, you can check it out right now. And I highly recommend you do before starting this episode. We watched it. We sat down and we did a podcast for my show, The Nico Show. And I think it went pretty well. We all seem to think that it went pretty well. And as a result, we are now creating the Pompidou Podcast. This will be released every week for the next 6 weeks. It is certainly a work in progress. We don't exactly know what we want it to be yet. We are hoping that it sort of starts out as a straightforward sort of TV recap fan show, and it sort of becomes something a lot more existential and philosophical along the way. And in the future, we hope to sort of talk about other things, maybe other movies, other TV shows. And hopefully we establish a pretty good dynamic and put out a pretty good quality show. So what this is, if you have subscribed to The Nico Show and you listen regularly, you will have heard this already. And you can look forward to the first new episode of the Pompidou Podcast next week. But for now, if you have not, sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is the pilot episode of the Pompidou Podcast. We will be referring to it for the entire hour as an episode of The Nico Show. But just know that this will serve as episode 1, and the episode 2 recap will be happening next week. All episodes of this can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, all your normal podcasting outlets, but it will exclusively be hosted at NicoDeGregorio.com. That is NicoDeGregorio. For the next couple weeks, Nick will be taking over hosting duties of this thing, and you will find every single episode at the startup website, if you will, of NicoDeGregorio.com. So if you haven't heard this already, enjoy episode 1, the pilot of the Pompidou Podcast, and we will see you next week for episode 2.
Good afternoon.
This is the Nico Show. I am your host, not Nico.
So,
I can attest to that. He is, yeah. In fact, not Nico.
In fact, yes.
In fact.
So, what we're doing is we're doing something a little different today.
A little different. A little different. Understatement there.
We all got together just now and we watched something, very strange. very delightful, enchanting, perhaps.
It was great.
So we just want to spend a little bit of time talking about it. So it's it's me, Nick Evangelista.
Evangelista's here. I am Nico. As always. If you don't know who I am,
show.
I'm the host of the show.
The actual host. Okay. I'm the host in spirit today. Yes.
You're the substitute host. And thirdly is Zach Caponegro.
Zach Caponegro.
The great man, our boy, yeah. Zachy.
Yeah.
Don't call me either of those things. My boy's okay. Not Zachy.
So you don't want to be a man, you want to be a boy.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Like the boy wonder. I mean, come on, Robin, let's go. Why would I be Robin, not Batman? Getting off topic. I hit the table.
Don't fucking slam the table.
I forgot.
Okay. I honestly don't know how to say this other than We came across a particular TV show.
Yeah, so on my Netflix radar, this show has been popping up. The radar of Netflix TV shows.
It's very important to recognize that my Netflix radar and your Netflix radar, we might as well just be using different websites. Because the things that you were finding on Netflix as opposed to the things that I am watching, as I'm watching like moody like TV dramas with high character development and everything.
No.
You're watching Weirdo One.
You're right.
Let me just clarify. First off, Ancient Aliens never watched on my Netflix. Someone else's. My Netflix I share with my brother.
Yeah.
So, why don't you guys just get separate accounts?
Because we're using my cousin's Netflix and it's already full of accounts.
How many accounts?
I think 5 is max or something.
It's only 5? Really?
Not the point.
No, I feel like that is the point.
Man, if I had... I would not have picked 2 minutes for this thing to go off the rails, but we're already 2
Yeah.
Also, this is actually not on like my recommendations. This is just on the way the PS4 Netflix is set up. It starts out at the very top with just... Hey, here's a thing that we're going to advertise, whoever you are. You could be anybody, any demographic. We're going to advertise this show. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Right.
So it's a Netflix, quote-unquote Netflix original.
Well, it's a Netflix and BBC production.
Yeah, so it's called Pompidou.
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 Right.
Thank you for going along with it.
So we decided this. I had a bit of a... 25 minutes in the morning to get ready. Nothing to watch. This thing has been on my Netflix for 3 weeks now, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. So I decided I'll fucking watch it, eat some Cocoa Puffs, and...
Cuckoo? Were you cuckoo for them?
I was cuckoo for Pompidou. And I watched this show, and I've never hated anything more.
Right.
And so I told Nico to watch 5 minutes of it, and we decided to watch the whole damn thing.
Right, okay. So Nick says to me, because Nick and I have... Nick enjoys... He is amused by my hatred of certain things.
Absolutely.
And
when everyone is, let's be honest.
Yes, people tend to be amused when I'm watching something that I hate. It's quite a show.
Yes.
Because I throw a little temper tantrum and I complain about it.
But then you refuse to change it.
Right.
Quite frankly, when you watch anything you like, you throw a temper tantrum.
True. So, yes. So you said to me, all right, just try 5 minutes of this show called Pompidou. We watched a movie called Mystery Team like 2-3 weeks ago, and I hated it so much. And he said, if you think Mystery Team is bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. So we get through 2 minutes, and we will break down this television program, if you can call it that.
Just for the first 2 minutes, and then
we'll dissect everything in a minute. But we got through 2 minutes. And I immediately paused it, and I said, listen, guys, this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
We're going to watch this thing.
Wait, no, I believe.
No, it was Nick.
I believe this is me.
Okay, you had the idea. Yes, but I said
you said it in motion, but Nick
came this is Nick's idea. Yeah, okay, yes. All right, we're taking credit. We're fighting over who came up with this brilliant idea that we're doing right now.
It's always Nick who comes up with the brilliant ideas. Let's be honest.
So I'm like, all right. What if we did a podcast about this shit? And then I said, all right, let's take this a step further. What if Nick, Zach, and Nico created the only podcast in the world that is specifically devoted to recapping and talking about each and every episode of Pompidou? So here's what this is. This is a test run. We're going to see how this goes.
Yes.
And we're going to try our best to talk about this bizarre television program. And if this goes well,
yes,
we're going to spin this baby off.
Can we please just keep doing it? Like, even if it doesn't go well.
We can throw it on your podcast because nobody listens to it anyways. True.
This is
I'm just kidding.
No one does. This is the Pompidou fan podcast.
More people should, yeah.
It's quite good.
So this is the Pompidou fan podcast.
Fan podcast.
Here's what you got to do. And I think, well, okay. Here's the recommendation.
Right, right.
If you haven't seen it, go watch it.
I don't know. I mean, should we they watch it before or after?
That's a great question.
I mean,
that
here's the thing. So this podcast here for us is going to be very experimental. We have a lot of plans to do things differently maybe every episode. So why don't you guys try doing things differently? And if we continue this, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's best.
I don't honestly know if it enhances your listening experience of this by watching the show. I don't think you need to watch the show.
I don't know if it enhances your life by watching the show. I think it's actually detrimental to your health.
No, I feel like my life is substantially greater.
Zach was the main person who was probably laughing this entire episode, loved it.
Oh my god. Funniest show I've ever
okay,
seen.
If you're going to watch it with friends. That's yes. From my experience. I watched it alone and I hated it. I watched it again today and it was hilarious because...
But you were probably laughing because I was dying.
Part of it, yeah.
And almost spit out my water like four times.
It's just...
In the span of 22
it's
minutes.
It's so dumb. Okay, so let's ponder this for now.
I mean, come on,
so what's
dog.
What's the way we should do this? Should we talk just whatever we want about it, the episode as it goes, or should we kind of give a brief synopsis and then talk about our reactions?
Well, this
I think
is...
we should just do it like the synopsis as we go. So we'll like say something. And
so let's break it down into scene selection.
Yeah,
I guess.
And whenever somebody wants to talk about what happened, or in my instance, why I was laughing
right.
so hard.
All right. So let's start with...
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, TV recap podcasts are a very common thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this fits in that category.
Right. So here's what I wanted... In my head, what I want this to be is I want to seriously try to recap it.
Well, okay,
I want to begin as, like anybody would recap an episode of Game of Thrones. Like, I want you going, let's take it scene by scene and let's break it down. But I know eventually... that this is going to turn into its own thing. And that's what I'm so excited about.
Well, okay, so unfortunately, so I only know the name of one character. That's Pompidou.
Yeah.
There's Hoyt. I think there's Hoyt. I think Hoyt's the butler.
Hoyt's the butler?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. And then there's a dog.
I love the dog. Dog's my favorite.
So let's just start with the beginning here. So the beginning of the episode... just kind of
starts with Pompidou.
The episode's entitled Hunger.
Pompidou. Yes.
So
the idea, I mean, maybe just a quick thing about the show in general.
If we can, yeah. If we can make it quick, but
I mean,
like
two sentences right here. I could just
go for it.
He was once rich, now he's dirt poor. That's pretty much it.
That's not the way I would have described this show because I think.
Well, no, but that's like where it starts. That's how you begin. That's not what the show's about.
That's the backstory.
There's not really a plot.
The show, yeah.
But
there's a lack of exposition too. It sort of just plops you into the middle of it and it trusts its audience a lot here, which is what's so bizarre about it. For a show that is so stupid and overtly like ridiculous and absurd, it really trusts its audience to connect the dots with the plot. You know, it's not holding your hand through this thing.
There was a plot, okay? They were hungry,
right.
And then shit went down, and he performed a surgery.
So the show opens up.
Wrong.
That's a story.
Yes, the show opens up on a wide shot of a mansion, and it pans
gorgeous,
back.
Gorgeous, by the way.
Yes,
it's a very beautiful mansion.
And it pans back to reveal.
It's one down.
Yes, yeah. To reveal
down to the left and back.
If we're gonna
go to every axis here, and also forward in time at one point. If we want to go into the fourth dimension here. Because it originally shows the old mansion, and then it shows it's decrepit, and then it pans. So
sure, Nick.
So it does time, then X, then Y, and Z.
Thank you for clarifying.
So it's in a tesseract.
Well, no, that's just... Don't be ridiculous, Zach.
let's be serious
and
for
it,
a minute.
So it pans out, and it reveals this...
And down to the left.
This mobile... The down to the left through time and space in a tesseract reveals... A RV mobile home looking thing.
But did you notice that it was really like three different mobile homes just taped together? Did you see that?
No.
Was like the main one.
I didn't study the shot enough, unfortunately.
And then off to the side, there was another one, and there was like cardboard and tape, and then there was something coming off the back of it.
But yeah, so it reveals something that says Pompidou Manors, and it's like this decrepit sign, and it's like tilted a little bit, and it's falling off. It is duct tape.
It's not even duct. It's just, it looks like scotch tape.
So from, so from this one brilliant single take, we have now given us all the exposition we need. And that is, we go from, this is the past, and we are moving into the future. Pompidou is a character that was once rich and is now living in this shack with his dog and his butler.
Right.
And they now...
still loyal to him. I don't understand where the pay is.
That's what I was trying to figure out,
there's
too.
There's no pay.
There's no pay.
And yet he still stays and serves him. He doesn't... He's not just, like, his butler friend. Like, he's his butler. Like, he answers the door. Right. Serves him food.
Well, are butlers... Too. Are butlers paid, or are they just sort of taken care of?
Well, butlers...
I suppose it's a predisposed agreement upon...
is a little bit of both.
It's
You can have live-in butlers who literally live in the house, but then they get a small amount of money in case they end up retiring. They have money stored away. Or you can have butlers who come in and then they just work on salary. They work from like...
That's weird. Like, hey, I'm going to go to my 9-to-5 job as a butler.
Yeah, they work... They work from like 6 to 11. That's ridiculous.
What, 5 hours?
They work, 6 a.m. Early in the morning to, like, fairly late at night.
Haven't you ever seen Bob the Butler, Nick? Like, seriously. With the great Tom Green?
I mean...
It's an old Disney Channel
I think
movie.
I was busy that day.
I don't remember that.
I do remember that movie. I remember what he looked like. He had a goatee?
Yes.
That's all I remember. Goatee.
Is Tom Green the guy who did Freddy Got Fingered? No, who did Freddy Got Fingered?
I don't know.
Freddy.
What is it?
Freddy got fingered. That's who.
Whatever hooker.
Daddy, would you like some sausages?
Finger Freddy.
Back on topic.
So, okay. And we go. So we go into this. The first scene of this series, we see a large man who I can only describe at now. See if this
quite
is
quite portly.
Okay, a combination of. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Are you gonna take my little
and Danny DeVito? That's what
with
I
a hint I saw, especially when he put on the fake wig later in the episode.
Yes,
Spoiler.
Yes,
spoiler alert.
He started.
You don't want to know anything. Pause now. Go watch and come back.
He started to appear as almost a Donald Trump like figure in a strange way. A
little bit, bit in the face.
Yeah, a little bit. You can see it.
You know what I took him as. What? A fat British dude. That's it.
British Danny DeVito
mixed with
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I feel like
Donald Trump.
Yeah, I feel like he is the stature of Danny DeVito, the facial structure of Donald Trump, and the complexion of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I think that's the most accurate description.
And he's British.
And he's British, but he can't speak English, ironically.
Well, no.
Okay, wait a minute. How many minutes are we into the podcast right now?
13.
Okay.
That's amazing.
It took 13 fucking minutes to give you the main premise of this show. Here's what... Go ahead.
So far, we've probably covered about
2 minutes,
2 minutes of the 25-minute episode.
Yeah.
Which traverses space and time both
heart and... We've only covered like 30 seconds.
I don't know. It's been pretty quick, yeah. Okay, so let's try
to
get...
A lot of shit happens.
Okay, so...
No, give the main premise of Pompidou.
Okay, so basically, so this first episode at least...
I think permanently, right?
Well, okay, so at least
we
in this episode.
Know that.
At least in this episode, because we've only seen one so far. The idea is that they're hungry, they're looking
for
food.
No.
Right?
I don't care about the plot. Don't tell me anything about the plot.
What about
okay,
the premise?
No.
There is no premise.
No.
The premise is the rich dude is now poor, and then they go on zany adventures.
You are missing the fucking point. This guy doesn't speak. Let's make that very clear. This guy, this guy mumbles words.
He just imagine if we did the entire podcast like that. You wouldn't understand anything.
I feel like people are gonna go onto Netflix and watch this show expecting like a witty British comedy.
Oh no!
And then be blown out at like why are they talking like this? They didn't mention it at all in the fucking podcast. No, the guy mumbles all of his words,
and I think we caught him saying. He actually said quite a few words, but there were three words that he really said quite frequently.
Yes.
It was no.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, there was a lot of no.
Naughty. And his apparent catchphrase.
It seems like it.
Good afternoon. Thus, the opening of the episode.
Oh, that's
how it ties in.
That's fantastic.
So, how about
I'm going to be saying that like every day.
We're going to greet each other saying good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This has been a very long podcast already.
Yeah. It's been 15.
We're not going to have time, I don't think, to really get into the entire episode.
Mm-hmm. Let's go fast.
How about we just do this? How about each of us pick two scenes or so that we liked and explain why?
Okay.
That we thought was important.
Okay. Important or liked?
Changed us.
Can we hit broad strokes first, though? Like, I don't think...
Okay. We've been making fun of the broad strokes.
I just want to see it in terms of what did we actually think of it? Because I think
that's fair.
I loved it.
Okay.
Okay.
So
Zach loved it.
Absolutely loved it.
Go ahead.
Tell us more, please.
Like I said to you two earlier. Well, not you two, but mainly Nick.
Off mic.
I find pretty much anything funny.
Cookie.
And it's random. It's funny.
What just happened there? He just thought cookie was funny. It's a problem.
Pudding is arguably the funniest food.
Pudding is a pretty funny word.
Tapioca? Okay.
Like, it's like Nico, lumpy.
Rude. But true.
But true.
Right.
But so, going in, at the very at the theme song, in my mind, I'm like, this is fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
It is so bad.
At second two of playing this, I fell in love with it. And my love for it grew and grew and grew.
Considering there's approximately 15...
bumping the fucking table. You are bumping up a fucking machine. Keep going.
So you're telling me at second two of the 15... of the... What is it? 1,500? Or no. Yeah. Of the approximately...
Are you doing the
I'm doing this wrong, actually. I apologize. I got it backwards.
Of the many seconds?
Yes, of the many, many seconds. If we really want to get into it... A lot of seconds. You're telling me 2 seconds in, you were fucking just hooked.
Yes.
Uh-huh. My God.
At when they started popping up randomly, going, a pompadour, I loved it.
Okay.
It was fucking great.
Okay.
So, Nico, what did you think of the show? Please.
You expect me to hate it.
Nick did expect him to absolutely hate
you showed it. You showed it to me with the anticipation of me... rolling my eyes
and then falling in love with Mystery Team
and throwing attention.
No. I just thought he would equally hate it.
Here's what I believe. I flipped on Netflix. I saw that Netflix was going to rate 2 stars, or that was the approximation for what they think I'm going to rate Pompidou. They predicted
their standards low. I got to say too.
They predicted
like, you're
that
not
I would.
Like
they
this.
Predicted.
Why are you watching it? Don't do this.
Here's what I truly believe.
Oh, God. Here we fucking go. Prove me wrong again, you bitch.
I believe Pompidou is a brilliant work of art. I truly believe that with every fiber of my being.
I do not believe art was anywhere in the thought of
this.
This
is... Okay. This is so atrociously bad. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen put to film.
That's what makes it so good.
I've watched Two Girls, One Cup, Nick. I've watched...
Okay, but that's not a film.
Okay. No,
no, it is. It's part of a larger film. Why do I know this?
Semantics.
Why do I know
have,
this?
I have seen horrific things put on video before.
Okay.
Okay? I have made horrific things that have been put on video before.
I've seen them in all of my classes in high school. Every single class.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Pompidou is quite possibly the worst thing ever filmed in history. Yet it is so...
I told you.
The absurdity of it, the overt badness, the fact that this thing was green-lit for 13 episodes, the fact that people are working on this thing, and that money is being funneled into it. Okay, the opening credits, the first thing that jumped out at me after this theme song is in the opening credits, it said written by. Now, normally you watch an episode of Game of Thrones, you watch an episode of Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, whatever show. There's at most... 2 writing credits. Normally, it's just one. Normally, one person is writing dialogue for Breaking Bad.
Right.
I counted.
Yeah, there were like 10.
5 fucking writers.
And but I'm pretty sure one of them said like the something sisters.
This is a show with no dialogue. No dialogue.
There's dialogue.
Nothing.
Five writers. Not only is there a staff of producers and directors and people at the BBC and the people at Netflix that are getting out.
And that large cast of actors in the hospital.
Yes! Not only is all that going into it, not only are people thinking of 13 original episode ideas. I don't know how this is going to sustain 13 episodes. But they went in, and five people got in a room and wrote the screenplay for this shit. And it involves, it is so bad. And the lack of care that no one just once turned to another person and said, why are we wasting money on this? I saw credit. This is a true credit at the end of this. Special effects.
Yes.
Special effects.
Well, he had to climb the inside X-ray. That guy's body somehow.
And the X-ray.
This is so bad. Yet I was laughing hysterically.
Right. Yes, he was.
Throughout the entire thing.
All right.
This is hilarious. It is brilliant. And I cannot wait to do 13 different podcasts about this thing.
Okay.
It is great.
Right. Okay. So, Nick, what did you think?
Okay, so when I initially watched it at home in my breakfast break while eating Cocoa Puffs, waiting to go to class.
Yeah.
I want to say actually this morning, but I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
Might have been yesterday. I don't know.
It's all a blur.
Yeah, whatever. I was originally thinking, this is bad. This is awful. I want my money back.
Here's what I think,
though. But I did not interrupt you, Zachary, when you were
naughty.
Speaking.
Naughty. I'm being very naughty.
So watching it again with you guys and with the anticipation of making a podcast, it does enhance the experience.
Yeah.
If any of you watch this at home to genuinely watch a good show in your precious time, you will hate this. Mm-hmm. But if you participate in this experience with us,
yes,
I think you can find this as a very enjoyable show.
I agree with that.
I think with friends as well.
I think, yes, maybe a couple drinks in your system might enhance it a little bit.
Yeah.
This would be great to show the guys in North Carolina.
I mean, last time we just watched Portlandia freak the fuck out.
This is severely funnier. This is a lot funnier than Portlandia.
I don't know about that.
In its absurdity and stupidness.
Yes. All right,
well, okay, so why don't we just, like, I think we should each kind of just go through.
Okay.
And, like, and a pick, little. Like a scene or
pick
two?
Pick a scene or two.
Okay, Zach.
Just talk about it.
Pick a scene, okay. Zach.
Okay. The first one where I knew I was going to hurt after from laughing so hard was right in the beginning. After they ate the tiny little thing.
The tiny little and the sausage.
Dog, the dog ate the pompadours. And they're trying to figure out what to eat in this trailer. And they're, like, spying, like, the dog's wallet or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is made of leather or whatever. And they're, like, going over and they're, like, sneaking up on it. And they go to grab it and the dog's paw just slams down on the wallet. And the pompadour turns to the butler and goes, he's not in there, not in there. And he's pointed at him, calling the butler.
Like, blaming the butler for his own idea. Oh, my God. I don't even know what to say.
Oh.
I mean, look, let's talk about the dog for a moment here.
Yeah, let's
now,
Nick has a theory.
I have a theory. Now, I've watched this twice now, so upon the second viewing, and I think you guys will see this on your second viewing as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that, now this is just a dog, and this dog sits there reading a book, for the record.
For the record, the book was Your Twig, How to Fetch It, by Eric McGoldrick, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I've got the author. Uh-huh. That's sad.
Yeah, uh-huh. Now, so this dog sits there, reads a book, it wears glasses. This is a sophisticated creature.
Like librarian glasses,
and quite frankly,
too.
It speaks English just as well as every other character. So, but I have a theory, because when you look at this dog very carefully, you notice it is wearing, it's a golden retriever, it's wearing a golden locked wig.
Golden locked
and,
wig.
And, like, strange librarian glasses.
Yes.
And now I believe, truly, that as far as Pompadour and his butler are concerned, this dog is not a dog. It is a female woman who they live with. I don't think they realize that it's a dog.
Oh.
I think this dog is a very clever, very cleverly disguised.
So you think the dog's trying to pass
I think
off
the dog
as a woman?
It wants to be thought of as a human, and I think that Pompadour and his butler do not realize. Because why else would they be feeding the dog half of a sausage like that? Feeding it on a plate.
Yeah.
It just seems something's off.
Well, you clearly have never seen crazy people with their dogs.
No, but
quite frankly,
okay. But
could this be sort of like a commentary about how people treat their pets? I mean, is it possible that like that was the motivation of that?
No.
Is that... I think it's definitely possible. If you have five writers in a room, you would think something else. Listen, here's all I'm saying. If five writers are in a room writing the screenplay for this thing, I think more thought is going into this episode than just good afternoon.
No, here's right? Here's what I think happened.
What?
They were, the writers were there, quote, writing dialogue, smoking meth, and one of them just goes, dude, let's give the dog a wig.
I don't know.
And then they did.
I don't think so. I think there was a purpose.
Okay.
I don't know. Just the way the dog is personified.
But this is not new, right? Like, I mean, the idea of...
I mean, also, just the fact that the dog was also not... For the record, like, it was a puppet. Like,
Yes.
Like,
this is a live action.
There was somebody... these are actors.
It was like that Japanese
there
dog.
There is somebody... In this show, who was in charge of directing all of the puppets in this show?
Yes.
There were multiple puppets.
There was eight. Oh.
The bird was a puppet.
The bird was a puppet. Was the fish? No, the fish, the guy was just flicking it.
Yes.
There was a guy who was in charge of that, and he solely controls this dog or something.
Yes.
Yes.
Man, but okay. The idea of... Of pets acting as humans is not new, right?
No, of course not.
Like, Brian from Family Guy is probably the biggest example of this. Like, this is not a new idea by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah,
But I think it's an interesting decision, and here we go, like, breaking down the artistic motivations of certain decisions.
It's getting existential,
of the show.
Episode one.
But I think it's interesting are we assuming that the dog is female?
Well, yes.
You guys are.
I mean,
it's just the dog.
Those
glasses are not male.
Which is an interesting choice, is the fact that it's a female dog. So is it possible?
I mean, for all we know, your stick and how to fetch it is actually dating advice.
It's your twig. Your twig.
Ooh.
Low standards, okay.
Ooh, I like it.
So this could be dating advice.
I just think it's a dog.
How
twig could be
it.
Another term for penis. Like a phallus, a phallic object, referring to the male specimen.
Oh, I love this.
And how to fetch it is how to pick up.
See, this is why I'm going into construction. You guys looked at the dog and you're like, oh, this is a woman. I looked at the dog and I'm like, that's a fucking dog.
I love this. This is brilliant. Okay, given that the dog is, if we're going along with this theory, the dog is not only... a girl, the dog is not only seeking dating advice, that also means that she's single. Right?
Well, naturally, living in that kind of house, I'm sure it's very difficult to pick up other male dogs.
Because...
Unless it's just smut.
Because if the dog is female...
That's fair.
Smut. It's mutt dog.
Because think
smut.
About this. The interaction between Pompidou and the dog...
Did you hear his pun just now? I'm sorry. I have to make reference to this real quick. He said smut, like, referring to, like, slutty or whatever, you know, but it has the word mutt in it, like a dog.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
You should join the writing staff of Pompidou. I'm sure they would hire you in a heartbeat.
They wouldn't appreciate that. They'd be like, that's too much words.
Okay.
Yeah, because they can't fit smut in anywhere.
Smut. Okay.
Schmarty.
I'm sorry. Nico, let's...
Look at the interaction between Pompidou and the dog.
Yes.
Does that in some way reflect the actions of a romantic couple?
No.
Is it, like, can't you see, like, they're eating dinner together?
What, how women tend to mooch off of men for everything? No, I'm just kidding. That's not right.
he's eating, or, like, he's slapping him on the wrist. It's like, they're bantering with one another. They're eating dinner together. I think, there's no other reason, because...
Now, if we want to get
into... They're not bantering with each other.
But if we want to get into relationships about... With Pompidou, I believe that there's actually a more a homosexual relationship between Pompidou and the butler. I see that.
Because, like, in the history and popular culture of dogs as humans,
yes.
Or dogs as, that is humanized dogs.
What did I walk into?
The depiction has always been the dog is man's best friend, and that is taken literally. Brian from Family Guy is a prime example of that.
I feel like there's a couple more that I'm blanking on right now.
So what you're
saying, Vinny from Family Guy.
Yeah. So what you're implying Brian right now? Family Guy. I know what you're implying right now. You're implying that this show is trying to challenge the norm.
Yes, in many ways it is, because traditionally, if you were depicting a humanized dog, you would go along with the stereotype if he is man's best friend, and you are literally going to. So because, like, for example, Brian is essentially Peter Griffin's roommate, right? They are best friends, and he moves in. And they are friends. That is their relationship.
Right.
If this dog is female and this dog is living with Pompidou, that implies some sort of a romantic relationship, doesn't it? Unless Pompidou is homosexual. If Pompidou was gay, then that is a whole other element to it. Then in that case, it's a gay best friend. But either way, the decision to make that dog female, I think, says something.
It must, but we'll have to see as the episodes continue.
We don't even know if the dog is female, by the way. We don't know that for sure. All we know is that the glasses appear to be female.
I'm willing to bet all of the dialogue in the show.
Yes.
That the dog is female.
Right.
Now, all right, so why don't we pick another scene?
Okay.
To keep this moving
along. Why don't we go Nico?
So, Nico, you have a particular scene you want to discuss here?
I do.
I already know what I want to talk about, so.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, we haven't discussed the plotline specifically of this episode, but it is that Pompidou and his butler, because they are now poor, I guess...
We're doing this at 30 minutes in.
Yes.
This is all right. This will be a good length.
I feel like every episode this season is going to be Pompidou struggling with poor life.
Yeah.
That seems to be the common theme.
Yes. I mean, I can tell you the Netflix description if you really want.
Okay.
From my memory, as best as I can.
Yeah.
Well, it's something about... he once was rich.
Yes.
Now he's just odd.
Okay.
That was so it doesn't seem like they're focusing on the fact that he's not rich anymore. I think it's more, it's not specifically the fact that he's poor. It's just he's not rich and he's odd. Okay. That seems to be what they're trying
to do. This is a story that we've seen a couple times. This is Arthur. This is like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
This is, you know, rich guy becomes poor and now is a fish out of water.
Yes.
Okay, so this particular episode was called Hunger because him and his butler are looking for food. That is the goal of the episode, is yes. they are looking for means to get food. And they begin this journey by going fishing.
Right.
Yes.
There is, and this whole sequence, I was dying laughing.
Oh, yes.
We were on
this. This was fun.
I was falling off of the couch, like, laughing hysterically during this. He comes in with with a long pole with a small fishing net attached to the end of it.
Tiny ass net.
One that...
like almost a butterfly net.
Exactly. Like, yeah, like what SpongeBob used to capture jellyfish.
But the pole was approximately 12 to 15 feet long.
Yeah, so it isn't a fishing rod. He has this net. And he takes this pole, and rather than casting out a fishing rod with fishing line at the end of it, he takes this stiff pole... And reaches it over his head like he were to go fishing, and just slams it down onto the ocean or onto the lake that they're fishing in. And he does this three times. And
they're yelling while he does.
Well, no, after the second time though, there's an old man and he tried helping.
Yes.
And he was softly, like, he didn't say this, but he like did the hand motion like softly. And Mama was like, oh, okay. I'm slamming it again. Which is what got Nico.
And this is why I believe Pompidou is so great. Okay? There were a lot of scenes in this episode that I did not like. I know, shocking. There were some things that Pompidou I did not like.
Wow.
Here's what I didn't... this is a British show. It's produced by the BBC, and the British have a particular sense of humor. They love their dry cleverness.
Yeah, it's a very British show.
When the show tried to be the Office, when it tried to be...
When?
There was a sight gag in which Pompidou is running through a hospital, and there is a sign that says, "Are you OCD?"
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the poster is crooked, and he goes to straighten it.
No. The poster is straight. The poster was straight, and he made it crooked.
No, he straightened it. No. What are you talking about?
No. The poster was straight, because in his trailer, not one I would recognize this. Not one picture was straight. All crooked at the same angle.
Now, let me put my... So, Zach is OCD for real, so yes. He might have noticed that.
Not diagnosed, for the
record. Basically, though. From my point of view, now, I've seen the episode twice. Both times I've watched that scene, and neither time could I tell whether he straightened it or unstraightened it, whether it was straight before or after.
Okay.
I still cannot tell. So,
but there was like this witty irony to it. It was very British.
Very British.
You didn't like that.
I hated that.
Fair enough. It was that was approximately 1.8 seconds of the entire episode, though.
Yeah,
but there were a couple of those things. There were a couple of just sort of your typical British cleverness,
like the sign when you flip the sign.
Let's, yeah, exactly. Like the sign. Yes, there was a sign that said
that sign was funny.
Whatever, we get it.
But there's a couple of those things.
But what was the thing you liked? I want to hear that.
The thing about the show is these writers are horrible comedy writers.
Yes.
They are terrible. And the hilarity of it, we are laughing at how bad it is. We are not laughing. So when it tries to be...
No, I was laughing because I genuinely thought it was funny.
So you're saying when it actually tries to be funny... You get mad.
When it tries to be witty, it's not funny. It's for these stupid, sort of like slapstick, ridiculous.
So you think it's funny because they're not. Because you think it's funny. You think the things that they're doing by accident are funny. Not the things they're doing on purpose, is essentially what you're saying.
The stupider, the better, is what I'm saying. The less sort of look at us, we could actually make a good British sitcom, regardless of the fact that we don't have dialogue. And
so less witty and more. Pole hitting the water.
Yes, more of that. More of
more the in your face.
Yes, the sort of the good humor. Afternoon. I never got tired of him saying good afternoon. Never got tired of it. Really,
like inside of the body.
Inside, yeah. He's saying
good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're echoing throughout his fucking like stomach or whatever.
Yes, or when the bird's like, the "I'm free."
Yeah.
So okay. So
oh, there it is.
All right. So. All right. So I have, right now, as we're speaking, I have approximately 4 theories about this show that, well, I'm not going to talk about all of them.
Nick and his theories.
Save some for the next 13 podcasts.
Because I need to see how the show develops before I can really, you know, back them up at
Nick
all.
Nick always has a theory for something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we already discussed the first one.
Yes, the dog.
Of the dog.
Of the dog.
Now, this isn't another theory, but I just want you guys to keep that in mind. Now, the scene that I particularly liked, that I wanted to talk about, was the scene where Pompidou is changing into his hospital clothing.
Yes.
Oh my god, yes.
Now, so he's trying to get into the hospital, not because he's hurt, but because he wants hospital food, because he's hungry.
Because he's hungry, yeah.
Right.
Now,
well,
that's his ploy.
Butler's already in the hospital.
Because he swallowed a bird.
Because he swallowed a whole. It's still alive.
While trying to lure the bird.
Is this plot convoluted enough for you already?
Anyhow. So
it's like I said, it's about 4 seasons of ER wrapped into 22 minutes.
So they ask him. They ask him to go in the back and change into this. So he goes behind like a little curtain thing, and you see all of his clothes get hung up on the curtain, and so you assume, okay, he's not wearing anything left. You see his entire outfit up there. He walks out still wearing the outfit. You go, what the fuck? How? And then they look at him and he goes, okay, fine. So he goes back again. You see the clothes come off again. Then you see some extra clothes come off. You see chainmail.
Chainmail, yep.
You see a t-shirt of Poirot, if you know who that is.
Like, yeah, no.
If you don't, you need to be cultured, you motherfuckers.
The sombrero.
And this is coming from the guys who are doing a podcast on Pompidou.
You need culture. Talking about culture. In your life. Anyhow, and then he walks out in his underwear.
Yep.
And then they realize that's a mistake, so he walks back out, walks back behind, changes back out, he's in the outfit.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's in the gown.
He's in the gown now. He looks at himself, he decides he doesn't quite like it, and he grabs some tools, goes back one more time. Now, this is the particular part that I really wanted to focus out. You see pieces of the gown getting cut and flying everywhere from behind the curtain, and you see something's changing with his outfit, you don't quite know what. He walks out, and somehow, he has converted this gown into a full tuxedo, bow tie, slippers, top hat combination.
Like with tail coats and everything.
Tail coats, everything. It's beautiful. It's great, right?
Yes.
He's the dog's ball, says the Buddhist.
Here's my question. Mm-hmm. And here's the question that I think we're going to be pondering throughout the entire 13 episode
is he magic?
Series. How on earth did a man this talented become so poor? If he has this skill, he has this ability, this artistic gift, he's clearly not stupid. Right? We've determined he's not dumb. He's not smart, but he's not dumb. I don't think it's so much that he's dumb. I think it's just that he's a fish out of water, like you said.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to survive in this type of world. So.
Did you say that? Did you say fish out of water?
Yes, I did.
I don't remember that.
So this man with this talent, you know, how on earth did he become poor? And is this reflective of our own society where even if you have talent, even if you, even if you have these types of skills, this wealth, you know, maybe that's not enough. And maybe it's almost saying that the way our society is progressing, nobody's safe. Anybody, can drop, fall from grace.
Mm.
And there's not a way out. And, you know, you'll feel fish out of water, like we said. Is that...
Well...
Is that the running theme? Because this man he's clearly has talent.
You've hit on an interesting thing. And this is another thing I'm realizing now as we're talking about it, that Pompidou was set apart from those other sort of the rich, the fall from grace of the rich.
Right.
This sets it apart from that genre of story. And that is, I get the sense that the writers and the directors of this show, whoever they are, apparently this thing was co-directed by two people too. Yeah. Took two people to direct that 25-minute piece of shit.
Worst piece of shit. I mean masterpiece.
They don't think negatively of Pompidou. I think they like Pompidou.
I think so too.
Right? The depiction of his character is one that is positive. That is positive and sympathetic. It is not your normal sort of, all right, here's a rich, spoiled guy that was sort of born into or is privileged for whatever reason, right? And then sort of falls from grace, and here is the rich guy that now has to put up with what all us poor folk have to put up with, right? It's not one like he's learning a lesson. I think they like Pompidou, right? I think that they believe that he is a... not only a good person, but one... I think you have a good point that he is a talented... And that he is an eccentric. And I think they are celebrating his weirdness. They aren't making fun of it.
And I think that deep down, I think we all like Pompidou.
I think so, too.
And I think we all want to see him succeed.
Yes. He's a likable character. Deep
down, like, we want to watch him, you know, get his meal.
Yeah.
We want that. And you know, at the end, he almost does, and then he doesn't, and then we laugh.
This is not Scrooge McDuck. And
that's what it's about. That's what it's about.
Yes. This is...
about laughter.
Yes. This is... well put. This is not Scrooge McDuck.
What?
We don't want to see Scrooge McDuck... we don't want to see Scrooge McDuck succeed. We want Scrooge McDuck to get his comeuppance.
You want him to get what he has coming.
Yes. Pompidou is... which makes it so weird that he is this rich guy. It's so bizarre. And this thing is so original, and I love it the more I'm talking about it. And the more that we're talking about it on a podcast... But this is a guy that we legitimately feel bad for.
Yes.
And I want to know why he's... I want to know more about his backstory. I hope we get like...
why is he in this position? And I think there's subtle hints. I think if we keep an eye out, we might be able to come up with some...
there's
subtle
not
hints.
A lot of exposition. I hope maybe we get like Lost-like flashbacks in the future.
No, not flashbacks. I don't think it's going to be that overt. I think we just need to pay attention to his surroundings.
Yeah.
And see if there's clues as to maybe how he ended up here. You know, maybe even if we analyze some of the other characters, like the butler, like, why is the butler still here?
Right.
Is the butler feel sympathetic for Pompidou? Does the butler feel guilty, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Is there a sense of guilt?
Yeah.
Is there a strong friendship or camaraderie between them? Like, you know, so far it seems more like the camaraderie, friendship type. But, you know, we need to determine maybe how they got there, how they met, first off, how it all began, and then maybe through that, and maybe through seeing their current relationship, we can maybe determine how they fell.
See, this is why I hate watching shit with you guys. Because you guys are like, let's look to see if we can figure out his backstory. His backstory is he went broke.
How?
But why does it matter?
Here's the thing. Any lazy comedy now I'm singing the praises of these five writers that all got together in a room and wrote this piece of shit. But
well, hi, I'm like pot.
The lazy thing like to pound. Do is to pass judgment on Pompidou. That's the easy thing, right? It's the story that we've seen. That's why we've seen that done a million times. It is very easy to laugh at him. Right. But I feel like we were laughing with him during it. Do you know what I mean? I feel like they were celebrating his oddity.
Yeah. And I can see it.
And that is sort of... that is something that I am always looking for in art, in comedy particularly, right? It's the difference between the Munsters and the Addams Family. You know, the Munsters was a show...
Munsters.
You know, and I love the Munsters, but it was a show about how these guys are outsiders and we're supposed to laugh at what makes them different, and they always wanted to be different. They always wanted... or no, I'm sorry. They always wanted to fit in. They didn't accept themselves who they are. Whereas the Addams Family was a show about how, you know, we're weird, but we love it anyway, and we're going to go about life, and we're just going to be weird. And they celebrated what made them weird, bizarre monsters.
And now you just hit upon the most important theme, I think, of Pompidou.
Right.
That right there is the difference between discrimination and diversity.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Because laughing at Pompidou would be discrimination, but laughing with him is diversity. That's what it's about.
Yes. And that I think
you have officially lost me.
But
I don't see why you're not following.
It's a show about this guy who used to be rich who doesn't know how to go about normal things, and he gets himself in trouble. Why the hell are we talking about diversity and discrimination?
Because, you have to understand, what he was just saying about the Addams Family and the Munsters, we're laughing at them.
Yes.
We're laughing at them because they're outsiders.
Yes.
That's the discrimination aspect.
And we are,
but laughing with them and celebrating their oddity.
Right.
That is the essence of diversity.
Right. And that is what I have always found myself drawn to. I mean, you can say that a lot of things. I'm trying to think of another example here. It is the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, right? The Beatles are like the hot thing and like, you know, pleasing everybody. And the Rolling Stones are the outsiders. They're the ones that are celebrating that they are punk rock, that they're different, right? Like, in one way, the Beatles are better musicians, but there's something about the Rolling Stones that makes them more endearing.
So what the hell are you comparing Pompidou to?
I'm saying I've always...
Just typical other... shows like the Scrooge McDuck where we want them to fail.
You know,
laughing at them.
No, we want them to fail because they put themselves in a position where there's a possibility that they might succeed, but it's slim. The whole idea behind Pompidou is there's no possible way he's going to catch a fish by slapping a net onto the surface of a pond.
So what you're saying is that people set themselves up to fail. What? No, that's not quite what he said. I took that out of context.
Not at all. When did I ever say anything about black people?
You are missing... Comedy is always... Man. Comedy is that's always bad. Better. Like, it is the Three Stooges... And here's another tip: Three Stooges versus the Marx Brothers, right? The Marx Brothers, Groucho Marx, and all those guys, or whatever. Like, the Marx Brothers are the comedy troupe that is always doing it with a wink and is always being clever and is always like, you know, making fun of what they're doing. The Three Stooges are just three guys that love each other that like go and they fight and they hit each other with hammers over the head and they go and they sleep in the same bed at night because that's just what the Three Stooges do. And they don't give a shit about what's going on around
them. Okay.
Right? There is a... It is comedy is always more effective when we're laughing with the characters and not at the characters. It is always when it is celebrating what makes them different as opposed to making fun of what makes them different. And I feel like a show like Pompidou, we should be laughing at him. But I never got the sense the entire time that I was laughing at him. I was not.
Oh no, I was straight up laughing at Pompidou because he's so stupid. But he's so funny.
But you wanted him to succeed, though, right? This wasn't like...
I was hoping he wouldn't get food, because then he would keep trying to get food in absurd ways.
This is not like Wile E. Coyote, where we laugh at all the failed attempts to, you know, to get the Roadrunner. We are rooting for Wile E. Coyote in this. You know, Pompidou is Wile E. Coyote, and we are rooting for him to succeed. We are not laughing at his failures. Well, we are laughing at his failures, but we are celebrating what makes him different. We're celebrating the relationship between him and the dog. We're celebrating the relationship between him and the butler. You know, this is an endearing character. And I think that description hits it right on the head. Before he was rich, now he's just odd. Right? This doesn't... It displays...
It doesn't use any negative words to describe him.
Right. Right. We don't call him stupid. We don't, and it appears...
Even the word poor would, you know,
right.
would imply a negative
right.
tone. They don't even use that. They don't say now he's poor. They don't say now he's in poverty. They say, no, he's odd.
Yeah. And
for all we know, maybe he's not even poor. Maybe he just likes to live that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Could be.
Wouldn't make sense.
I don't think so.
But we don't know.
And the fact that it is left ambiguous, I think, only leads more questions, and I think that is why this podcast will be so much fun in the future.
Yep.
But,
I think by the end of this, I think I've kind of determined that I think they probably should watch this before.
I think so. I know what you're saying.
Because I didn't think we were
going to
get this deep into it.
Yeah.
And I think you guys need to come along that ride with us.
For the record.
Yes.
I am not with them.
Zach's with us. He doesn't,
no,
he
I'm
doesn't
not.
Know
you
it.
Just don't know it yet. You'll discover it after a while, man.
It'll be
no,
discovered.
I won't.
But you go through the spiritual journey with us. Yeah, but
you're telling me
a
that
Pompidou.
You're telling me that myself,
yes,
Zachary,
the guy you guys know will laugh at damn near anything.
Yes,
cookies.
Is gonna find some social commentary in a guy doing zany things.
I'm not saying you're gonna. I'm saying that's what we're gonna try to do. And I think that is what the goal.
It'd be the equivalent of trying to teach me politics.
That I don't know.
We'll see how this goes.
We'll see what happens. But that I think is the goal of the Pompidou Fan Podcast.
Is to try to convince me
that. But you know, you just represent the viewers who are skeptical.
Yes. And I think we'll convince you of our way eventually.
What do you
mean, right?
Skeptical. It's a show about some guy doing stupid shit.
You need faith.
And
I think that might be another theme.
Faith in what? Faith in what?
That's another theme of the show.
Faith in what?
The fisherman at the beginning of the episode. You all read The Old Man in the Sea? Or you may have not.
No.
The Old Man in the Sea.
I went to
a
tech school.
As we know.
It took us 4 years to read Animal Farm.
It's by Ernest Hemingway.
I know who it's by.
So The Old Man in the Sea.
And I know what the story is, but I've never read it.
It's an allegory for Jesus Christ.
The hell's an allegory? What?
It's a story that represents a story. And that's an allegory.
How does it?
It represents Jesus Christ. How? There's many themes throughout the novel.
Christ imagery. There's him carrying the boat on his
back.
But
this common giving back, like the fisherman at the end gives him the fish, you know?
Yep.
Because he pushed the butler in a lake.
We all make mistakes and we need to forgive ourselves before we can forgive others.
I'm done.
I'm out.
Oh my God.
This is all a theme for faith.
Keep going.
The faith that viewers need to have in Pompidou and the show. And I believe that the fisherman himself represents Jesus Christ in this show. Just as the fisherman from The Old Man.
I won't meet you there. Here's where I will meet you, though.
You're making me physically angry.
Okay.
I was happy.
I was happy.
I watched some guy get slapped by a dog. And then eat a sausage, and then a guy sneezed on his face while he was eating the sausage. Now you're trying to get me to believe that this is an allegory for some shit.
For Jesus.
For Jesus.
For Jesus Christ.
So much work was put into this show. And not only so much work from British people.
Listen, if there's five writers, I'm expecting five layers.
There's gotta be something. Story. There has to be something. Because there's no way they sat in a room together. Five people sat in a room together, and none of these conversations
now,
were coming
I'm waiting
up.
For us to receive a letter from these writers and say, please stop, you are unlocking the secrets behind Pompidou.
Guys, I would like to point something out.
Yes, sir.
It took the three of us to sit down and write a story for a movie where a guy has the power to fuck a corpse back to life or a person to death.
We did come up with that.
That took three of us.
But you have to understand that
took three of us.
But that movie's amazing.
It is pretty great.
Script.
It is pretty great.
This is amazing.
We will be
this
releasing
is amazing.
The script within the next 365 days onto the...
Holy shit, really?
Within the next year, we will release a beta script.
For the motherfucker,
this,
right?
For the motherfucker is the story.
Yeah.
That's the beta title.
Yeah. Weren't we going to do a radio play? Weren't we going to do that?
I would love to do that, yeah. And I think that could be a great addition after the Pompidou.
I think
after,
so.
After Kill-Me-A-Thon. I don't want to...
Which we haven't announced yet, by the way.
But we're announcing it now, Kill-Me-A-Thon. It's a thing. Don't worry about it. We'll tell you later.
Yeah.
And all of the other antics that we have planned for our Tuesday night movie night game nights.
Yeah.
Pompidou nights.
Apparently, it's also Pompidou night.
It's also Pompidou.
It's going to be game night, movie night, Pompidou night.
Pompidou night.
And that's what you got to expect. So, I think... Any final thoughts? Because I think we're in a good spot.
I think so, too.
And I think we should keep these theories in mind and try to bring them back next week and see where we can take this.
For the record, I will be the sane person in the group and talk about the episode and not stupid fucking theories.
You know, we need diversity, like we said. So, Zach, we are welcome your opinion.
But we reject it.
Reject it as I would. As I would anybody who did not agree with the of my Lord.
Hey, listen, Christ. Man, we're doing 13 episodes of this. Either you can go with the flow, and you can ride the wave of the genius that is Pompidou, or you can resist it. But after a while, you know that wave is gonna topple you over, and you're gonna go with it eventually.
You know, I'm never gonna agree
to any of these theories. They're stupid.
I just realized
they don't make any sense.
But I just realized something. Five writers for this show. It's just like the Bible. There's four writers.
Wait.
Four writers, and, of course, God.
Yeah.
The fifth writer.
The fifth writer.
And, you know, there's two directors, was it?
Yeah.
You know, there were two testaments in the Bible.
There were two testaments.
Two ideals. Two different perspectives of the same story. And I don't think this is by accident.
Nick, you know what I have to say to that?
13 episodes. 12 apostles plus Jesus Christ, am I correct? Yes. 13. This was not random.
Yes.
Explain Daredevil.
What about Daredevil?
13 episodes. Does that have to do with the fucking Bible?
That's just a comic book.
Are you comparing fucking Daredevil to Pompidou right now?
No.
Is that what you're
saying? I'm saying he has some idea about the 13 episode thing. What there about
is
the
no symbolism in Daredevil. That is just a comic book. I'm just kidding. I take that back. There is.
I gotta watch Daredevil eventually.
More symbolism than fucking Pompidou.
I think you're wrong, but I think that if we sat down and did a podcast, you might be right. let's just do some last thoughts, though. Last thoughts. That was my last thought. I think this book, or I think this show is an allegory for the Bible.
Yo, if this was a book, I'd read it.
I don't know what the words would be. You'd be like, oh, I forgot to mention one of my other theories, actually. I'm sorry. Can I?
No,
save it for the next time. Save for next week.
No.
Save for next
week. I'm done with the theories.
Save for next. We gotta fill 13 of these.
All right.
Zach, you're being a bummer. You don't like Pompidou. And you.
False. I love Pompidou. I hate that you guys are trying to create this idea behind it that's not true.
Party pooper, Zuckerberg. Party pooper. This is what I'm thinking. I can't wait to do 12 more of these.
I'm going to promise you guys, I'm probably going to murder Nico before episode 6. And Nick.
Guys, watch Pompidou, right?
I would say so.
Watch Pompidou.
Watch Pompidou. Watch it with us, right?
Give us some feedback. Watch it with us. We're probably going to try to do this every week.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you know, watch it one episode a week if you can. If you got the patience, you know. And we'll chat it up.
I think this went pretty well. I think this is, I'm greenlighting the spinoff.
This went much better than anticipated.
I'm giving the 13 episode order to this podcast.
So better than expected?
Yeah.
Easily.
I'm giving the season one order to this podcast.
Green light.
We are, the green light. We are now, Pompidou fan podcast, everybody.
And I'm officially, claiming, usurping title of host.
You want hosting duties. You can have it. You can have it.
I like this.
Not bad. First time doing it, right?
I've never hosted anything.
You never hosted a podcast
like this,
before.
So I'm on board.
Good. All right. Sounds like a plan, everybody.
All right, folks. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good week. Should I say, Lord, because it's technically a Nico show, right?
Technically
for now, we'll allow it.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
We'll green light it.
Thanks, Ken. tune in next week to hear the story about Lord Steve and to hear more about Pompidou.
The Pompidou.
Bye, everybody.